Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. Berit Hadashah Ministries is a twofold ministry. First, we seek to edify the body of believers in Messiah Jesus by teaching the whole counsel of God from the Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation, all 66 books of the Bible. Secondly, we follow the divine order of evangelism as given in Romans 1:16. We take the gospel to the Jew first, and then to the Gentile, to the Jews primarily in Israel. And the first part of this ministry is teaching the Word of God, the whole counsel of the Word of God, which leads us directly into our current series with you entitled The Great Doctrines of the Bible. An overview of the major doctrines of the Bible that shape and define the faith once delivered unto the saints, to quote Jude. One main reason for teaching this series is because there is so much error and heresy in the church. Doctrinal ignorance, unfortunately, is pandemic in the church today, particularly in America, where so much heresy and false doctrine is being pawned off as being from God and being biblical when it is not. We have been looking at the subject of angelology, the doctrine of angels. What do the scriptures say about angels? And we have looked at the various titles of the angels. These various titles convey and bring out the various aspects of who angels are and what they do. And the last title we looked at before we ran out of time is what the Bible calls angels. The Bible calls them a variety of things: watchers, hosts of God, and so forth. Last time we were looking at the title Ministering Spirits, Hebrews 1, 13 and 14, and Psalm 103, 21. Angels are called ministering spirits. Let's go to the citation in the New Testament in the book of Hebrews. Here, the writer of Hebrews states in the book of Hebrews 1, Verse 13, "But to which of the angels has he ever said, 'Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool'? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation?" In the context here, the writer of Hebrews is affirming the superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ over angels. He is pointing out the deity of Messiah. And one way he is proving this is the fact that Jesus Christ is God and therefore superior to the angels. But they are ministering spirits. They are sent out to serve, to wait on, to watch over the heirs of salvation, those who are saved. Now, it's important to maintain here that though angels are ministering spirits, intermediary agents for God doing His bidding, they are not mediators. We don't go to angels in order to get to God. That is not scriptural and flies in the face of the fact that the New Testament teaches there is only one mediator for that, and that would be the Lord Jesus Christ. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me," He said in John 14, 1 and 6. And in 1 Timothy 2:5, Paul clearly states this: there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So angels are not mediators between us and God. They are ministering spirits. They are intermediary agents. So we don't go to angels if we want to get to God. We have to go through God the Son. Angels are also called flames of fire. Flames of fire. This means that they bear the glory the shining glory of God, and they have a zeal, a burning zeal to carry out His will. Another term used for the angelic company is the elect. Let's go to 1 Timothy 5:21. Just as human beings are elect to receive the salvation that is in the Lord Jesus Christ, angels are elect, not for salvation, but they are elect to stand before God in an upright state. 1 Timothy 5:21. Paul says here, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. So here Paul mentions the elect angels. What does he mean by elect? Well, chosen angels. These were the unfallen angels who did not follow Lucifer in his rebellion against the Most High. I like what one Bible commentator says about this, what elect means in regard to these types of angels, the unfallen angels. He said, this indicates that God's sovereign purpose to choose those beings would be part of His eternal kingdom included angels, whom He chose to eternal glory. And as I mentioned earlier, Christians are also called elect. Elect for salvation and to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ in the ages to come. The fallen angels are not elect. We know this from what the Scripture teaches in 2 Peter 2:4 and Jude 6. No, they have been... Some of the fallen angels are so wicked and corrupt that they are in a special compartment of hell, in the blackness of darkness. And they are chained. They are not allowed to operate with Satan in the present time. These angels are fallen angels, and their destiny is the lake of fire, along with Satan. Another term used, it's a familial term, for angels is sons of God. This is a phrase that's repeated throughout the book of Job. Job 1:6, when Satan appeared before the throne of God with the sons of God. Also, you find it in Job 2:1 and Job 38:7. Angels are called sons of God. This means that they are not begotten sons of God through salvation as born-again believers are. No, they are the created sons of God. They came directly from God's hand. Another term, again, in the book of Job for angels is morning stars. Morning stars. Job, we'll look that one up. Job 38:7. Job 38:7. Talking about when God is speaking to Job, telling him how he is unable and with his extreme finite limitations to understand the full scope and immeasurable depths of creation. And when he makes this point to Job, he says this, were you there when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? So here's two references to angels. As we just mentioned, we talked about the sons of God, but here the morning stars. They are called the morning stars. Angels are stars of light. They reflect the Shekinah glory of God upon them. This is what happened with Lucifer. He was so caught up with his own angelic beauty in this way that he rebelled against God, thinking that the glory he had was somehow attributed to his own ingenuity. Later, after Satan rebelled, he is called a fallen star. Remember what Jesus said in the Gospel of Luke. I think it's Luke 19. He beheld Satan like light, falling like lightning from heaven. So when Satan fell, he became a fallen star. He lost that pristine Shekinah glory of God, that the angels radiate as the morning star. As the morning star. I think it's in Luke's gospel about Lucifer. I said Luke 19. I believe it's Luke 10. If not, we'll move on. Luke 10. Yes, 10, 18, and 19. Jesus speaking here. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And this means that Satan's authority and power were defeated and overthrown by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. This statement that Jesus mentions here probably goes back to when Satan was thrown out of heaven after God and the elect angels, led by Jesus as captain of the hosts of the Lord, threw the devil and the fallen angels, his demons, out of heaven. Angels are also called sons of the mighty, showing their great power and force. Psalm 82:1 and Psalm 89:6. Psalm 82:1 says this about the angels and their supernatural power. God stands in the congregation of the mighty. So, obviously, this is talking about angels here, because they do stand around the throne of God continuously. Then we have the other reference in Psalm 89:6. Psalm 89:6, and that is, let's see, it says here, for who in the heavens can be compared to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened to the Lord? Literally, this word means sons of God, that is, the angels, which they are called. Angels, again, simply means agent or messenger. Angels are also referred to as princes. We find this in the book of Daniel. And the warfare that goes on between the angelic elect angels of God and the fallen angels of God, whom are under Satan's command, and they actually rule territories of the earth, different territories. We'll get into that in a minute. But angels are known as, and this is according to their hierarchical rank and classification, they are known, angels, the angelic groups are known as princes, thrones, dominions, powers. Let's look at these four rankings quickly. Then we'll get into the individual rankings of angels. These are what would be considered the corporate or collective hierarchical rankings of angels. First of all, they are called princes. Daniel 10, 13, verse 20, 21, and Daniel 12, 1. Daniel 12, 1 talks about at the middle point of the tribulation, Michael the archangel will stand for Israel. He is called the prince. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. Michael will stand during the final tribulation period to protect Israel. Revelation 12, 12 through 17, and so forth with Daniel 12, 1. Angels are designated as princes. God has given them rule in His kingdom subject to His supreme rule. So God is the supreme commander and the angels are the commanders under him. Now remember, the angel Satan is also spoken of as being a prince over the world system. When Jesus was going to be crucified, then glorified and exalted on the throne of God, thus conquering death and sin which produces death, he said once that was accomplished, he told the disciples, the prince of this world has been cast out, and when he comes, he has nothing in me. He was referring to Satan, the devil himself. John 12:31, John 14:30, John 16:11, verses where Jesus refers to Satan, the fallen angel, as a prince. He does rule this world system as the prince of the power of the air, as Paul tells us in Ephesians 1:4, 1 and 2. How is that? Well, because Adam and Eve forfeited their right to rule over this creation when they gave it to Satan by falling into sin. And Satan became the ruler of this world. This is further verified by the fact that when Satan appeared to Jesus in the Judean desert where he was tempted, Satan offered Jesus all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, we are told. The Gospel of Matthew, Jesus could have said, if it was not a legitimate offer, he could have said, wait a minute, you don't rule over anything. No, Jesus resisted and did not accept Satan's offer because it meant disobeying the Father and worshiping the devil, a creature. Now, does that mean Satan is God? No, of course not. God allows him to temporarily have to dominate the world system, which is in rebellion against God and conforms to the character of Satan, which is one of rebellion, self-centeredness, murder, deceit, etc. But the time is coming when Satan's temporary rule over this world during the present time will end when the Lord Jesus returns and places him in the abyss for 1,000 years. Then he will be released at the end of the millennial kingdom of Christ, and he will rebel. And then, of course, his rebellion will be put down by Jesus, and then Satan will be permanently cast in the lake of fire forever. But now he is known as the prince of this world. And princes have principalities, domains, which they rule over. We read this in Ephesians 2:2, Colossians 1:16, Colossians 2, verses 10 and 15, Ephesians 1:21, 3:10, 6:12, 1 Peter 3:22. All these passages tell us that angels are referred to as principalities. Principalities are ruled over by princes. So there is a kingdom. There's the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan, which these fallen princes rule over different areas of the earth. Different areas of the earth. But Satan, actually I said Ephesians 4, actually, it's Ephesians 2. I don't know why I said 4, but let me correct myself. In Ephesians 2, verse 2, Paul calls Satan the god of this world or the prince of the power of the air. So even the fallen angels are princes, and they are allowed to rule over principalities. Specifically, these principalities are geographical areas and nations, as we're going to see in a minute. We learn this in the book of Daniel. The angelic, the collective rankings of angels is not only called princes, but thrones. Thrones and dominions. For thrones, we learn this from Colossians 1:16 and Romans 8:38. Thrones are symbolic of the rulership certain angels have in God's order. Then we have dominions, also mentioned in Colossians 1:16. To have dominion is to hold a rulership or a dominating influence in a certain sphere or perimeter. And these angels, of course, do as they are under the Lord of angels, Jesus Christ. They are called powers, again, in Colossians 1:16. This speaks of authorities or administration which God has given to various angels. So those are some of the different rankings, collective, the hierarchical ranks and rankings of angels in their collective sense. Now let's look at the individual ranks of angels. Let's individually. First of all, let's talk about the angel of the Lord. Technically, this person is not an angel. like Michael or Gabriel, who are created supernatural beings. We've talked about the angel of the Lord before, and the reason why I'm mentioning it here is because some mistakenly think that this refers to Jesus as an angel before he was born. I think of the Jehovah's Witnesses' false teaching that Jesus was Michael, the archangel, before he became the man Jesus of Nazareth. That is completely false. And they will use this phrase, the angel of the Lord, to say, see, this proves our point. What they don't see, however, is that whenever the word angel is used in Scripture, it doesn't automatically mean the supernatural beings like Michael or Gabriel. It can mean, the word angel can merely mean a messenger, as it does in Hebrew or Greek. And this is so here with the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord distinguishes him from all the other angels that God created, because this angel of the Lord is a messenger. He is a messenger. In that sense, he's an angel. And he is worshipped and called Adonai and Elohim in the Old Testament. He also was given the power of pardoning or retaining transgressions. And the name of God has been placed in him. This is told us in Exodus 23, verses 20 through 23. And in Exodus 32, 34, we read of the angel of the Lord. This is what God says of him. My angel shall go before you. And some variant readings translate that in Exodus 33:14, to mean my presence, literally my face, shall go with you and I will give you rest. Isaiah 63:9 further elaborates on this angel of the Lord who traveled with the children of Israel in the wilderness. Isaiah 63:9 states concerning the angel of the Lord, in all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. So here we see two important factors that could only belong to God are also applied to this angel of the Lord. First, Yahweh's name, that is his revealed character, power, and authority, is in him, and he is able to save and pardon transgression. No angel, no created thing of God, whether angel or man, could do that. Remember in Mark 3, when Jesus forgave the man who was paralyzed, the Pharisees said, who can forgive sins but God alone? They were right, but they didn't realize that standing before them was God Almighty in the flesh, Jesus, who as God had the power to forgive sins. So here the angel of the Lord cannot simply be an angel like Michael or Gabriel, but he's an angel in the sense he is God's messenger. So obviously this messenger is none other than the Son of God, the Messiah, the Deliverer of Israel, and Savior-to-be of the world. So the angel of the Lord is God Almighty. This angel of the Lord. And he is called the Captain of the Hosts of the Lord. I believe that's in Joshua. The angel of the Lord appeared to him. In other words, he rules over all the angels, and that is indeed the function, one of the functions of this messenger, messianic messenger of the Lord. He is the Messiah himself. And Joshua called him the captain of the hosts of the Lord. Let me find that here in Joshua, time permitting. He calls him the... No, I'm not finding it here, but it is in the book of Joshua. Okay, I found it in Joshua 5. This angel of the Lord, or the commander of the Lord's army, is worshipped as God. So no elect, unfallen angel would accept worship. Nor could this be a fallen angel, obviously, because a fallen angel would not help advance God's plan for Israel, as the situation in Joshua indicates. So let's look at this quickly. Joshua 5:13, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him, and his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" So he said, "No, but as commander of the army of the Lord I have now come." Now look what Joshua did. Verse 14, and Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped him and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" He's calling this commander Adon, or Adonai, my Lord. That's a divine term. And look what the captain of the hosts of the Lord says to Joshua. Verse 15, then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." That's exactly what God told Moses when he appeared to him through the burning bush. So obviously, no angel like Gabriel or Michael would make a claim like this that only God made. This commander is a pre-incarnate Christophany. That is, an appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. He came to Joshua as the messenger, parentheses angel, which means messenger in this case. He came to him as if he were a man. And Joshua appropriately then worshipped him. And this pre-incarnate Christ accepted worship because he is God Almighty. That's a mind blower. And so the Lord Jesus went before them as the angel of the Lord and defeated their enemies so that they could conquer the land of promise God gave them. Again, that's amazing. So that, when we talk about the angel of the Lord as it applies to Christ, he is God's divine messenger. Not an angel like Gabriel or Michael. Whenever you see the word angel in Scripture, it doesn't always automatically mean the supernatural created beings of God. It can mean a human messenger, or it can mean the messianic messenger, God, Jesus. Moving on. The first order in the angelic rank is the archangel. Michael is mentioned as the archangel or chief angel. He is mentioned in Jude 9, Revelation 12:7, and he appears as the guardian angel of the nation of Israel in Daniel 12:1. That seems to be his primary function, because Daniel 12:1 with Revelation 12:7, we have Michael protecting the Jewish people in the past and certainly during the tribulation. He will protect the Jewish remnant from the onslaught and persecution of the Antichrist. Gabriel also would be considered an archangel, because he too was of a very high rank. He told John the Baptist's father, I believe, Zechariah, in Luke 1:19, that he stands in the presence of God. He stands in the presence of God. We learn of this in Luke 1:19. He told Zechariah, "I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of God." Gabriel means strong man of God. Gabriel also appears in Daniel 8:16 and 9:21, fighting against the prince of Persia, revealing to Daniel the great prophecy of the 70 weeks of years. He and Michael are the only two angels named in Scripture. So we will pick up from here next time. Again, before we conclude this broadcast, please let us hear from you. We need your support. We also want to hear your feedback. The announcer we'll tell you how you can get a hold of us at the end of this broadcast. Until next time, Shalom Yeshua HaMashiach Alechem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.